all our activities are based on the needs that national society prioritized.
You know, there are still a lot of, you know, challenge in terms of poverty level.
Without any breaks, non-stop for more than 2 years now with the escalation of conflict. So, I mean, that's the family that we are.
Österreichisches Rotes Kreuz, der Podcast.
Welcome to Red Cross, the podcast, a very special edition, partly because it's in English. My name's Chris Cummins, your guest host for the day. It's a very internationally minded podcast today. We've got three regional representatives of the Austrian Red Cross in three very different countries, and they're going to tell us today a little bit about what they're doing, what the priorities are, and what life is like for a regional representative in their different countries. We'll do a brief introduction round. First of all, we've got Christina, you're based in Armenia. Just tell me a little bit about what you're doing there.
Thank you. I'm Christina. I'm representing Austrian Red Cross in Armenia. I'm based in Yerevan, and we work with National Society almost 14 years. We started with the project in 2012, and then we continue with our permanent office in 2018, and currently we are implementing projects and programs aimed to support vulnerable population in Armenia in two main directions, social and health services and disaster preparedness.
Okay, so there's a lot to talk about there in Armenia and a long-standing relationship between Austria and Armenia. We'll come on to that in a few moments, but let's go through our introductory round. We've also got, from Ukraine, Angelika. Hello.
Hello. It's a pleasure to be here and have this chat with you. Thanks for the opportunity. So I'm based in Kyiv. I'm heading the Austrian Red Cross team there. We have there 13 internationals in Ukraine at the moment and also national staff and working together with the Ukrainian Red Cross now with all the humanitarian response and the needs now after the escalation of the conflict.
And finally, last but not least, we've got a man from the wonderfully rugged, beautiful country of Rwanda in Central Africa. Abraham, tell me a little bit about your life and work in Africa.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity. So my name is Abraham. I'm the country rep for Rwanda. Life in Rwanda is quite a small country, quite nice country to be in. Basically, it's...
Well, we'll get into why it's a beautiful country to be in, but why the beauty, the rugged topography makes it also quite a challenging place to bring medical help to every corner of the country. That's something we'll be talking about with you. But let's go back, first of all, to Armenia. As I said, we've got a lot to get into here. You're doing a lot, Christina, in the areas of care and also health care. Health for older people. Why these priorities?
Actually, all our activities are based on the needs that national society prioritized. As already my colleagues mentioned, the national society, meaning that Armenian Red Cross, has their own strategy and they have own annual plan. It's called Unified Plan, which is developed together with the partner national societies existing in the country and with the federation, where the national society presenting their priorities and then partner national societies and federations see where they can contribute to improve the situation in the country and to support the host national society, Armenian Red Cross. That's why we, and also considering our own expertise as Austrian Red Cross, that we are advanced in elderly care, we are supporting in residential care institution in Armenia. We are supporting in establishing child safe spaces for children from displaced families and also from vulnerable families. And we are also supporting with MHPSS services to different population groups, including displaced population, including service providers, first responders. These are volunteers of Red Cross. These are social workers in the communities, teachers working with those children. So we have different target groups working with.
It's obviously a huge area. Care is such a big issue in almost every country I can think of, including here in Austria. But what are the specific challenges in Armenia getting the people the care that they need?
A specific challenge is that the host national society is facing, Armenia Red Cross Society, is of course influx of the population from Nagorno-Karabakh recently, from September 2023. And these people, of course, there is a huge demand of MHPSS services.
Can you just tell me what that means exactly?
This means first psychological aid, which are provided by the specialists from Armenian Red Cross Society, trained volunteers who are trained on special curriculum of Federation, first aid in emergencies, and also psychologists themselves, professionals. This is conducted through also individual counseling sessions or group counseling sessions for those population. And also these groups that are established, later on they self-run. So people gather together, the facilitator supported them for some period of time. And then people, like this group, then self-run.
Okay, but I did promise we'd go from one of you to the other, but there seems to be a bit of an overlap here. Angelika, you're working in Ukraine. We're talking about people who maybe need some psychological help, who have perhaps trauma, and also often elderly people who suddenly find themselves either without a home or in need of extra support. Do you see an overlap in what you're trying to do in Ukraine?
Well, it is the same situation where we are building on the expertise that we have in Austria. So we are supporting the activities in Ukraine where we have already expertise and where the Ukrainian Red Cross has asked us to help. And it is true that the problem is that many of the elderly people have been left behind. So maybe the families have moved or the elderly people, they refuse to move with the evacuations. They want to stay home, but they don't have services. So what we do, we bring the services to them. So they might be that they are immobile, so they get the care. They have a social helper who comes, brings them medication, maybe prepares food, helps with grocery shopping. So very very day-to-day life, enabling them to stay at home. Or then if they have been internally displaced from the conflict areas to the a little bit safer areas in Ukraine, so they don't have the social network there, so they need help to access to the health services or other services. So that's where we support.
And the older we get, the stronger our roots seem to be, the harder it seems to be to move to a different place. When you're forced to move to a different place, when you're a senior citizen, that must be extra difficult. How do your workers manage to create a sense of trust and a sense of a soothing presence working with these people?
Those social helpers are amazing, and it is very true that it is difficult for especially this elderly women who are staying there. They have been seeing through the decades, they have seen all the differences that have happened, and they want to stay in their homes. You know, the different language areas in country and all that. So it's very different if you are from the east to live in the west. So and the social helpers, they really have a trusted communication with the people that they visit. They have a daily communication with them. They go there once or three times a week or five times a week, what is needed for those, and do everything for the people that they can feel that they are independent in their homes. So that's amazing to see.
I find that so fascinating, you talking about that, because of course when we imagine medical help, we think of someone who is a long way away from a clinic who needs to have their blood pressure medicine or maybe diabetes medicine. Mm-hmm. But actually sometimes just that hand on the shoulder, that help with doing the groceries, that's just as important.
Yes, yes, it is. And you can imagine how frightening it is when there is these airstrikes and you are stuck at your home, and how important it is that somebody comes and talks to you and prepares the food and helps you to, you know, clean up and all that. So this is something really like the dignity of the people that is so important.
Now, you're both involved in administration. Mm-hmm. It sounds like what you're talking about is incredibly useful people helping, providing both mental and physical help. Mm-hmm. How do you find these workers?
These workers are usually from the community. So the social helpers usually come from the community itself, and they have a very they have an ambition to help people in their communities. And what we do, of course, we fundraise that this activity is possible, but we also provide them training, and they are keen to having new skills and knowing how to help. So it is also very, very motivating for these people.
And Christina, how is it in Armenia? Because care workers in the country where I'm from, England, and here in Austria too, finding really good people to do that absolutely vital work isn't that easy. How is it finding the staff to fulfill these goals you have as the Austrian Red Cross working in Armenia to put that into practice?
Actually, the National Society, Armenian Red Cross Society, is hiring those persons because they are the implementing partner in Armenia, and we are supporting them. And these people are from community. They are very dedicated people. They used to work in their community for many years, and we are building their capacities through special trainings for them to be able to provide quality care for all the people and people with disabilities in residential care institution, for example. They pass different training, starting from first aid, psychological first aid, what are the specifics of working with older people or with people with disabilities, physical specifics or mental specifics. Also, we are supporting how to better link them with the community members so they don't feel them isolated in that residential institution, and further strengthening their links with their family members, with their relatives, with their peers in the community.
And what's impressive about these projects is that they've been long running. What have you learned over the periods that you've been involved in terms of best practice, how to improve the work you're doing for the Austrian Red Cross in Armenia?
I think the social component is the most important one, because even though the physical health is very important, but without social connections, and we saw this proof during COVID times when people, especially elderly people and people with disabilities, were isolated in this institution, and they were not allowed to go outside and to communicate with their peers or anybody outside of the institution. This affected their health, their physical health. And so this is very important from the lessons we learned, that to put importance and to underline the social component of their life, to promote active and healthy aging of those older people, to make them feel the part of the community, to make them fully participate in different aspects of community life, social, cultural, every.
And we're speaking a lot at the moment about the more senior members of society. You said something else at the beginning, which makes my ears prick up as a father of a small child. We've become obsessed with the word child being mentioned. You talked about child safe spaces. Tell me a little bit about that aspect of your project.
Yes, we have we're supporting so-called smiley clubs. These are safe spaces created for children from 8 to 13, 14 years old. And they are dedicated to improve their mental health conditions. We are supporting to improve their educational processes, because the target group for these smiley clubs are children from displaced families, and this target group specifically have gaps in education. And our trained volunteers, meaning that our host national society volunteers, and also teachers of the school where the smiley club is located usually, they provide classes on different subjects, supporting people, children to fulfill these gaps in education. Also, some entertainment and leisure time, interesting leisure time provision is supported by our programs and projects. And we ensure that these children are also visiting different museums, cultural centers, organize competitions, yard camps, summer camps for them. Yes, and we support them to express themselves, to interact with each other, because the Smiley Clubs also intend to integrate those children to the society.
Indeed, I was talking to someone who works with children across the world, but he was saying that we really need a human right to play. Children need to play, and we often worry about missed hours in the class learning maths or the language, but children need to kind of to have space and the capacity and the time to be children for anything else to function. How does that work?
Yes, and sometimes children do not want to talk about what is concerning them, what is their concern, and we give them opportunity to express themselves through different tools. For example, from painting, drawing, pottery making, and this also support. This is kind of psychological support that are provided to these children. And after some time, you can see the differences in their behavior. They started communicating with each other, interacting, and they behave in different way.
Okay, well, I'm going to bring Abraham, who's been waiting very patiently whilst we talked about two other countries. Abraham, you're based in Rwanda. What are the specific challenges that you're trying to deal with in that country?
Yeah, thanks. So in Rwanda, as Austrian Red Cross, we are supporting the emergency medical services. So the challenge that we are addressing is in terms of this pre-hospital care profession hasn't existed before, so we are trying to develop or establish that service basically through, you know, training, you know, this pre-hospital care profession.
Can I just characterize? That's basically meaning getting people the urgent medical attention they need before even they've got through the doors of a hospital. Being a paramedic, that sort of thing.
Sort of paramedic. So we call them emergency medical technicians. So the idea is we are developing that profession in that country. So it's never existed. So it's been, I think, since 2017, we have been working on that. So the challenge that we are addressing is basically developing that profession in that country, yeah.
You mentioned in the introduction that you come from a country you described as small, and I suppose in terms of landmass it is, but having been there, I know it can take a long time to get to remote areas because it's so beautiful, because there are all these hills, and of course not every road is paved. You're talking about getting basic ambulances to remote areas. What sort of challenges do you have?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so Rwanda is called, you know, the land of thousand hills. So it's quite mountainous country. So, people are living in these different remote areas. For us, it was quite difficult. Like, for example, on average, ambulance reach 2 hours, you know, to reach the beneficiaries. So,
which can be too late if you've had some cardiac issue or something.
Yeah. So we are trying to reduce that time, so at least to 30 minutes and so on. So,
how do you do that? Do you employ Lewis Hamilton, or there must be a better way?
Yeah, so we are reaching, you know, basically we established, you know, within the community health centers, our ambulance stations are based actually near the community centers, so that we have a closer reach to the community, to the beneficiaries, basically. So at least that reduces that, and also we have professionals, basically, that are equipped, and also the staffs are, you know, we have, you know, trained the staffs. These EMTs have been trained for 9 months, basically, 9 months of training on pre-hospital care.
So what do they do in training?
So basically, yeah, they will be trained, you know, in different pre-hospital care modules or curriculum. So, we train them. Basically, you know, it's quite different, you know, from nurses or other. So this profession, we took, you know, from Austrian experience, basically from Austrian Red Cross experience, and we adapted or contextualized that curriculum in that country context. So.
Okay. Yeah. I lived for a while in a very different part of Africa, in Ghana. But what I do know is that there were certain medical issues that you need to get to fast that we don't have here in Austria and we didn't have in England. For example, if someone gets bitten by a snake or there are... What sort of different issues might there be in a country like Rwanda that we probably wouldn't know about where people need medical help very quickly and you need to provide it?
I think it's mostly, you know, preventable diseases there, you know, like sometimes it might be road traffic accidents, it might be, you know, I don't know, waterborne disease or whatever. So it's more preventable rather than most, you know. Okay. Like,
not chasing after the snake.
No, that's not
it. It's a fairly new project, isn't it? So tell me what sort of progress you've noticed whilst overseeing, if you like, this project.
No, actually, it's been 5 years since since we started it. So, I mean, we have seen quite a big progress or achievements, you know, in terms of the 5 years. So we started from zero, like I told you, building up that profession. So now that profession is accepted by the Rwanda government, the Rwanda Ministry of Health. So it has been accredited, basically. So it took a long 4 to 5 years of process to get that training or that profession accredited. So we did that. And our fleets have now, you know, increased from 2 ambulances to 10 ambulances. So our national society, which is the Rwanda Red Cross, has taken that ownership and have established basically what they call Emergency Medical Service Center. So it has grown quite rapidly, you know, within the 5 years.
Yeah. How did you all, I guess, as a community, the Red Cross in Rwanda, the Austrian Red Cross partners in Austria, come upon that as that's the project we need to focus on?
Yeah, so basically it was a request from the Rwanda Red Cross that they have this interest in this profession. Actually, it was also sort of a management visit, you know, during that time. There was a management visit to Austria. So basically they saw what our experience is in this, in the EMS field. They were so much interested so it was an eye-opening, for them to see this sector. And yeah, they requested that support. And after that, they made it their priority or their strategic sector. So we said, okay, why not? We have that competency, why not translate it to that country? Yeah.
I don't want to sound like a car freak. I actually ride ever on a bicycle, but there is a question that's burning on my lips. You must have some really cool vehicles to get around all that rugged, hilly mountain. Yeah. I mean, they must be different than the sort of ambulance I would see in a city in Austria.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a Land Cruisers, 4x4 Land Cruisers. Well equipped, you know, even better than the government ambulances. So, yeah, maybe not.
Cool colors.
Yeah. But it's 4x4 Land Cruisers, which are quite well equipped ambulances. Yeah, so it's.
And because, of course, you need to train the people who are going to give the first aid, the medical attention when you get there. But you must need some good drivers as well.
So actually our, what makes different, you know, from other providers there is our drivers are also trained in emergency medical, emergency medical technicians or paramedics. So they play both roles. So each ambulance is equipped or staffed with 2 EMTs. So they do both, yeah.
Okay. Well, it's all good. It all sounds like quite an exciting project. Angelika, in Ukraine, we talked about like this sense of triumph that you can have in your areas of work. In Armenia, seeing a child opening up for the first time who's been traumatized. Maybe when you see the flash new car getting there in a record time in Rwanda. What have been the moments that you felt, okay, there's so big challenges that I'm dealing with. It can seem so overwhelming, but have there been moments when you thought, I've made a difference, we have made a difference here?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it is a teamwork, and I do see that with the individual people, even if, I mean, so far in the 2 years, we have supported 12.3 million people, but the individual differences in people's lives and their dignity, these babushkas, you know, that are able to have a meaningful life and people are able to participate. So those are the moments. And of course, I mean, we are also supporting other activities. And when the emergency response teams, when they are able to evacuate people from the front line and all these things. So it's on very, very different levels. But it's always the encounters with people, individual people and families that makes the, you know, the work worth all the efforts that we are putting into it.
Do you ever feel overwhelmed? I guess any aid agency, any medical organizations kind of putting on a band-aid over problems that can seem so massive. Are there any days when you turn up at work and think, it's all too much?
Yes, definitely. My team would say that, yes, we all face those moments, of course. I mean, the needs are so huge and because it's continues, the needs just grow. So sometimes we, of course, feel that we are not enough to support and we would need to do more and more. Yeah, we all encounter those moments for sure.
What do you do then? What do you focus on?
Well, we do what we can do at that moment. I mean, individually, people have different coping mechanisms. And yeah, it helps when you get an uninterrupted sleep for a night, because we have a lot of attacks during the night. So that helps a lot. Walking in the city, talking to people. We have great colleagues. So when you can talk. And when we see the result, then it motivates. I mean, traveling to the project site, different parts of the country, when you talk with people, how grateful they are for all the help that they are getting. But not only the help, but also the recognition that we are there with them. So that is something that they value a lot and express. So that is very meaningful.
You're part of this big international federation, this family, I suppose, international
yes.
family. Does what sort of support does that give you? I guess not just practically, but emotionally.
Yes, I mean it is a Red Cross family, as you say. So this is something that we are there, all of us for the same reason. So that helps a lot, and you know, we are able to divide the huge tasks. So that's something, but also the thing that we know that we all support the same thing. So we are for the same reason there. So even if it's a big community, but we are all for that and for the. I mean, the Ukrainian Red Cross volunteers on the ground every day, been working without any breaks, nonstop for more than 2 years now with the escalation of conflict. So, I mean, that's the family that we are.
Christina, how about for you? What's the have there been moments where you felt it's all too much? I need more help, and if so, what help would you need?
Yes, I have my personal coping mechanism for that. Usually field trips helps a lot. When you just go to the project site, visit beneficiaries, see, communicate with them, like see the differences, and always being on the ground and communicating with people helps.
So it stops being a matter of numbers. There are these numbers of people without adequate care. There are this number of traumatized children. But once you start seeing the human beings behind those numbers, and you can see that with your own eyes that there is something being done, that makes it
yes,
motivational.
That helps very much. That helps really very much. When you see the impact of what are you doing, and you see that all that effort's worth the result. The impact that you are making, of course, with your team.
And it can't be that often that the three of you sit together with people doing similar jobs, but with very different priorities in different countries, as you are this week in Vienna. What's that like for you, Christina?
It's very interesting also for me, because I'm first time here communicating with my colleagues. I joined Austrian Red Cross recently for 9-10 months almost. And it was very interesting and useful for me being here and making meetings with my colleagues and also learning from their experiences, finding some similarities, differences, which were most interesting, I would say. And also learning and imagining how this could be also applied in our country, how it could be adjusted and taken force. So, yeah, it is very interesting for me.
What about you, Abraham?
I think it's quite inspiring, you know, to have that exchange between the different countries. You know, you see some similarities, differences, and and also, like, how can I, you know, replicate what has been done, you know? So, based on, you know, you can contextualize it and so on. So it's quite interesting to see that, you know.
Yeah. We've been talking a lot about aging populations. It's an issue in Western Europe and Eastern Europe, an issue in the Caucasus. Yeah. In Rwanda, you've got a very young population and a rapidly developing economy. Rwanda's been an economic success story. In your time working in aid and providing people with help, how has the situation changed?
Yeah, actually, I've been there 1 year, so I cannot tell the previous one. But like you said, I mean, it's a young population. I think over 60% or 70% is under 13. So, yeah, I mean, it's quite, motivated, I would say, quite a motivated and young population where, you know, people are interested to change their country, quite a lot of, yeah. Interesting things going on there. So, related, I don't know. Related with...
let me ask you something else. Because we have so little insight into what needs are and life is like in different parts of the world. We're wrapped up in our own lives, inside our own borders. If you had one thing you'd want to tell an Austrian about sort of what the needs are in Rwanda and how your work could be made easier. I guess just saying more money is not. what do you think people should know about life in Rwanda where things could be helped? I mean, climate, the amount of young people. What are the challenges?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Rwanda, I mean, as you said, it's quite a success story, especially, you know, within 30 years of the genocide, you know, they have progressed well. But still, you know, with all the progress, you know, 40% of the population is under poverty. You know, there are still a lot of, you know, challenge in terms of poverty level. And as you said, you know, it's a young population, so there needs to be a lot of employment, livelihood for this upcoming generation as well. So imagine if I said 70 and even like 40 to 20%, maybe the statistical figure needs to be checked. But there is even a growing population that needs to be employed. So they are under 18 also is quite high. So one challenge is basically like the employment opportunity needs to be there. The second challenge is, as I said, climate change has a big impact there. You know, as you know, most of the countries, you know, situated in these mountainous areas, there is a lot of landslides, flooding that's happening, you know, every year. So,
that's an issue that's affecting everywhere, obviously.
Yeah,
and I know in Armenia, Christina, you have a preparedness program that's to deal with some of the impacts of climate change, flooding, that sort of thing.
We are supporting in a different direction. We are supporting, as an Austrian Red Cross, we are supporting with establishing of volunteer-based firefighters system in civil protection system in Armenia. So in 12 communities in all 11 regions of, in 10 regions of Armenia, we have established these firefighter teams. But in general, the Red Cross movement is supporting in preparedness of Armenian Red Cross Society volunteers. They have teams of volunteers that are engaged in emergency response processes. And specifically, recently, there has been a flooding in Tavush and Lori regions in Armenia, where volunteers from different regions of Armenia supported affected population in evacuation, in provision of relief items, in provision of PFA, psychological first aid services. So yes, and we are supporting as a movement also Armenian Red Cross Society to develop their movement contingency plans with different scenarios, meaning with different emergencies. Would it be earthquake or other scenario, health scenario, for example, to be prepared to respond adequately in case of emergencies.
And Angelica, I said we don't probably talk enough about Rwanda. Sometimes we don't talk enough about Armenia. The country where you're based is in the Western news every day for obvious reasons. Is there anything that you would say to an Austrian listening now that they should know about your work? Maybe something that would surprise them.
I don't know if it's surprising, but maybe the message would be that even if it's in the news every day and you already get tired of the news, so the needs are there, so the situation is very, very difficult for the people, and they still need the support. I mean, there are the electricity cuts, there are the, of course, the safety issues, there are the access to different things, and also people want to like here, people want to young people, they want to find jobs, they want to be able to study and all that, so this is where they still need our support, even if it it is it has been continuing for a while now, but it's a big country where the needs are very big.
Do you think in any of your countries people recognize that it's support from Austria? I mean, does that even matter? You don't hand out a blanket and say, this is an Austrian blanket, I guess. But, do they feel that sense of connection with places far away?
Yeah, I think in Ukraine, yes. I mean, it's not the point that we raise the flag that this is specifically Austrian support, but there is also, of course, this connection and the geographical proximity, and people do recognize Austrian support and the connection, and are very interested in how these things are done in Austria. So yes, it is. It is very visible.
Yeah, Abraham, Rwanda is like the Alps of Central Africa, I suppose. You've got the mountains. Yeah. Is there any sense of a connection between the two countries?
Definitely, I would say. I mean, there are some similarities in terms of, like you said, the mountains. And even, I think, quite interesting is even in local language, I think the German version is similar. Austrisch. So it's quite, they say it's Austrisch, which is interesting that I've seen. And they are quite both small. I mean, small, relatively smaller countries. So this I think, are a bit,
Christine, do you think that the people you work with feel that connection to Austria?
Yes, I think so, and especially in the elderly care field, for example, recently we became a member of Elderly Protection Network in Armenia, which is a network of organizations working in the field of elderly care, and we are one of the members of that network, which is quite well recognized by the government, and all the policy documents before approval by the government are sent to this network for the revision and provision of feedback, so that we can influence, also provide some contribution to improvement of the system, and we are quite visible in the country and recognized.
Okay, I've taken up a lot of your time, so I thought maybe I'll ask one last question. Maybe just tell me the one thing that keeps you going, trying to help the people in your countries. What is your main motivation to just get up in the morning and do your job?
Yeah, I know that there is a need in the country. I know that people are suffering. I know that there are places that we can contribute and we can improve the situation and make people alleviate the suffering and improve the situation.
Angelica?
For me, it's definitely the people. I mean, from a personal point of view, I meet amazing people. This is a, you know, very, very rare opportunity to get so close to people who open up and share their life stories with you. So that is something that is very hard to describe, but that's the thing for me, for sure. And this is something that I can do. I mean, my support is a drop in the ocean, but I feel that I can do something.
Well, every drop in the ocean makes up the ocean. Of course it does. Abraham, in Rwanda, what gets you out of bed in the morning?
Yeah, I think it's more the commitment and ownership, you know, starting from, you know, my counterparts and also the beneficiaries. You know, people are committed to change, you know, to develop, you know, to make a change in their country. So, yeah, I mean, it's quite interesting, you know, to support that, you know, to contribute to that part. I mean, that's...
Well, thank you, Abraham from Rwanda, Christina from Armenia, and Angelica from Ukraine for coming to Vienna and sharing your experiences and your everyday work in these three very diverse countries with such important challenges. And clearly you're making a difference. So I say thank you. Thank you for your time and thank you for your thoughts.
Thanks for this opportunity.
That was the Red Cross, the podcast, with your guest host today, me, Chris Cummins, and these wonderful guests.